The 13th of June, 2023. I've just checked the attendance register. It's myself, Honorable Bartlett, Honorable Maleka, Honorable Mbali, Dlamini, Honorable Ndongeni, Honorable Baden Horst, as well as Honorable Said Sheikh. We are 2, 4, 8, 7. Yes, we are 7. We're forming a quorum. I think we must start with our meeting. I've not received any apology for this meeting. Moss, can I confirm that? Check with you in respect of the apologies.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, it's only Honorable Motsamai who indicated that to join the meeting quite lately, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, Honorable Motsamai, noted. Other than that, we have no other apology. As I indicated, we are going to consider a consolidated report on local government audit outcomes. That we received from the Auditor General last week. Moss was very, very quick this time around. Who is that you start with the observations? And I really apologize for that. And as such, I'm not going to switch on my video. I'm sorry about that. All right, thank you. Over to you, Moss.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Honorable members, good morning. I'm not going to take time, honorable members, with regard to observations. I will just, go through them. The time will be spent on recommendations so that members are able to make input on recommendations. 13.1, honorable members, is just to acknowledge that the report tabled by Auditor General provided an insight on the deteriorating financial health, ineffective financial reporting practices, procurement, payment transgressions, ineffective use of consultants, and lack of consequence management for wrongdoings within the municipalities. 13.2 is just to note that the committee has noted that the financial management in municipalities deteriorated in the main. Out of the 257 municipalities, 38 received clean audit, 104 submitted credible financial statements, 78 received qualified audit, 6 received adverts, 15 disclaimers, 16 have outstanding audit outcomes due to late submissions of financial statement. 13.3 is just to note that the poor implementation of service delivery mandate of local government is related to financial management and planning. The absence of proper planning and sound financial management has led to unfunded budget, unauthorized expenditure, and that the skills deficit at local government level has contributed to poor financial management and hence unsatisfactory audit outcomes. 13.4, that lack of skills has led to 220 municipalities to commission consultants to perform their financial management responsibilities. And this has cost over 1.6 billion in this financial year, an increase from 1.3 billion last year. This practice of commissioning consultants continues, even though the nature of the work is not complex, but rather involves, rudimentary line functions for which the municipalities are charged millions of rands. 13.5 just that the committee has noted with great concern that the inappropriate spending and underspending of municipal infrastructure grants have contributed to delays in completing infrastructure projects that have improved service delivery to residents, such as access to water, housing, public transport in some of the municipalities in Free State and Northern Cape. 13.6, that lack of skills and capacity in finance, information technology, technical units, which are responsible for infrastructure projects, led to municipalities relying heavily on consultants. Vacancies, instability in key positions such as those of municipal manager, chief financial officers, contributed to limited improvement in audit outcomes and delays in dealing with material irregularities and other transgressions. 13.7, that the committee has noted the lack of institutionalized financial and performance management controls continue to leave municipalities ill-prepared to operate optimally during the times of change and instability. Instability and disruption in the councils, along with ineffective municipal public accounts committees, continued to limit the effectiveness of governance processes. 13.8, the committee has noted that the internal audit units and audit committees did not have the required impact, mostly because their recommendations were not implemented. The interventions and support initiatives provided by some coordinating institutions and the reporting by the members of executive councils for local government to provincial legislatures also had a limited impact. 13.9, the committee further notes that municipal councils have failed to act against municipal officials and leadership for wrongdoing and poor performance. This can be seen mostly clearly where council did not deal effectively with unauthorized, irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditures, and where municipal managers and senior management took limited action in response to AG fundings. 13.10, the committee noted with great concerns, one, the threats to the officials of the Auditor General during the audit process, two, the killings of members serving in public accounts committees, lack of consequence management, poor record keeping, lack of skills and competent officials, lack of impact of Section 139 interventions, lack of consequence for culprits, municipalities who continuously receive disclaimer opinions, use of conditional grants for operational purposes, late submission of financial statements, for example, in Free States, Northwest, Limpopo provinces, non-publication of declaration of interest by councillors, lack of value for money in the use of consultants for basic functions that should have been performed by municipal officials and chief financial officers. The committee has further noted that the AG has issued material irregularities notices in terms of Public Audit Act to some municipal managers in relation to value for money for the appointment of consultants, project delays, and spending of infrastructure grants, non-compliance with procurement legislations, wastewater management, pollution of water resources, housing development projects, proper record management, disclaimer opinions, bank reconciliation processes, unauthorized debit orders, and unallocated cash withdrawals, and all the matters have been referred to the law enforcement agencies for investigation. Now, 14.1 on all members summarizes the call made by the AG to the role players within the model of the AG of accountability ecosystem, namely to the premiers, provincial governments, public accounts committees, accounting officers, chief financial officers, to play their roles in dealing with challenges in the municipalities related to infrastructure, service delivery, sound financial management, capacity of municipal officials, use of consultants, implementation of consequence management, corruption, irregular expenditure, political and administrative instabilities, and the implementation of remedial actions to deal with the findings and recommendations of the AG. Recommendations, honorable members. 15.1, honorable members. Members will recall that during the engagement, AG made undertaking that the report will be tabled to Parliament that deals with material irregularities. Now, 15.1 captures that to say the AG should table that report to the NCOP and the law enforcement agencies, meaning the Hawks, NPA, and SIU, should also table their report on the status of investigations, opening of criminal cases, and prosecutions in terms of the material irregularities referred in terms of Public Audit Act by the Auditor General. 15.2, calling upon the coordinating institutions, namely the Premier's, Provincial Department of Culture, and Treasuries, to develop and intensify mechanisms to reduce over-reliance by municipalities on the use of consultants. Members will recall that a huge amount of money has been used by municipalities to appoint consultants, where they have also failed to perform their functions. 13.3, calling upon the MEC of Northwest, Eastern Cape, Northern Cape, Provincial Treasury, and Department of COCTA to brief the Select Committee during the third term on the constitutional, procedural, and substantive matters related to interventions in terms of Section 139, Subsection 5 of the Constitution, and MFMA in municipalities. The focus should be on the implementation of financial recovery plans and remedial actions to deal with the findings and recommendations of the AG. Members will recall that the chair is a serious concern that there is a mass grooming of Section 139, Subsection 5 in Northwest, and this recommendation has captured that spirit, honorable members. 15.4, calling upon the Minister of COCTA, in line with the provision of Section 134 of Municipal Finance Management Act, to collaborate with the MECs of local government and SALGA to provide post-audit support interventions in terms of Section 154 of the Constitution to municipalities in order to address issues raised by the AG. 15.5, calling upon the Minister of COCTA to fast-track the processes of promulgating regulations to address instabilities within the councils and ensure that there is accountability and consequence management for undesired behaviors. 15.6, calling upon the National and Provincial Department of COCTA and Treasury, SALGA, and Auditor General to strengthen their monitoring responsibilities to ensure the functionality of oversight committees in municipalities. 15.7, calling upon the National Provincial Treasuries Department of COCTA to help municipalities in Eastern Cape, Limpopo, Northern Cape, Northwest to reduce their reliance on the use of consultants. 15.8, calling upon the National Provincial Departments of COCTA as well as SALGA to implement the framework on professionalization of the public service as approved by Cabinet in November 2022 in order to ensure that qualified and competent officials are appointed within the municipalities. 15.9, calling upon the Department of COCTA, National Treasury, in collaboration with Provincial Department of Local Government and SALGA to ensure functionalities of municipal public accounts committees, the disciplinary boards, through capacity building initiatives to ensure consequence management, accountability, understanding of legislations, and proper existence of governance documents. 15.10, calling upon the Department of COCTA to expedite the development of a framework that will support by legislative reform to strengthen the functionality of coalition government and to bring about council and administrative stability. Calling upon all the role players to ensure institutionalization and implementation of the district development model to improve planning, budgeting, coordination, accountability, and monitoring in municipalities on matters related to service delivery. 15.12, calling upon the Department of COCTA to fast track the implementation of record management projects in selected municipalities to assist with the development and strengthening of record management practices to help municipalities improve their audit outcomes and reduce the number of disclaimed audit opinions. 13.13, the committee to undertake proactive oversight visits to the City of Tshwane, City of Joburg, City of Ekurhuleni, and Fulen local municipalities to assess the state of municipalities in terms of service delivery, financial management, good governance, public participation, and implementation of remedial actions to deal with AG audit outcome. In conclusion, honorable members, just to emphasize that all, if members approve this report, it means our third term program would, in terms of dates, accommodate all the recommendation contained in this report. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Moss. This was a very good report capturing the spirit and the letter of the meeting that we had with the Auditor General. Can I invite, or let me just say, I know that Honorable Mthethwa, Honorable Smith, yes, they have joined the meeting. Thank you very much, Honorable Members, for attending. Can I then open a discussion or invite comments on the bill? I call for the adoption or otherwise of the report. Any correction, any input? Honorable Smith.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. The network on my side is a bit of a problem. Chair, I am not in support of 15.11, based, you know, that the committee proposes the implementation of the district development model, as there's serious issues with that model.
No, at the moment, what we are doing is to make corrections. Or you suggest that we...
I'm just saying my objection to that.
I don't know how you want us to handle it. The district development model is a policy of government that is implemented across the country. I'm sure at the time that we adopt the report, we will note your reservation around the district development model, but there's no way that we can omit it when the government implements it. And when, on the other hand, we suppose as this committee to oversee, to monitor and to check the government on how it implements the district development model. Yes, but the point that your issue is noted as such. Any other comment? I note Honorable Bartlett and I note Honorable Mbali Dlamini. Honorable Mbali. Yes. In that order. Or an Honorable Badenhorst. Let me start with Honorable Badenhorst.
Yes, thank you very much. I just want to add on to what, good morning, colleagues, to what my colleague Honorable Smith said. We cannot support a report that contains the institutionalization of the district development model. I have not seen the policy regarding official policy being accepted anywhere. And the district development model is in fact against our constitution. That test hasn't been passed. So we cannot support from my point of view, the Western Cape DA cannot support the report if it contains the development model institutionalization. Thank you.
Okay. Is a point noted, Honorable Bartlett? And our butler.
Sorry, Chair, I'm struggling with my iPad. No, Chair, I know the concerns of the honourable members, but you will correctly state the facts that there's a policy. So in that sense, I want to move for adoption of this report, Honourable Chairperson.
Yes, before I'll come back to you once we have entertained the engagements from honourable members, let me just take them first. Honourable Mbali Dlamini.
Thank you, Chairperson. I also want to bring it to the committee that I see that at the end, it speaks that the committee needs to do an oversight and it notes the metros, which is fine, but there are some municipalities that are of grave concern in other provinces, Chair, that I think the committee needs to put into consideration and do oversight roles. Like, there's a grave concern that for 7 consecutive years in Northern Cape, Joe Morolong has always been receiving disclaimed audit opinions. And I think it should be put as a priority that the committee must go there and do an oversight and conduct an oversight to see that why are they repeated offenders when it comes to the report of the audit? And maybe also see other municipalities that are repeated offenders that the committee might want to go and see. I understand the urgency for metros, but let's also not ignore the rural municipalities that find themselves in this repeated offense that is happening. Also, municipalities that are also on the verge of a breakdown, most notably Emalahleni in Mpumalanga as well. So I just feel that let's find a way to fit them to say that there must be a priority oversight visit from the committee to these municipalities that are showing current red flags as well. Thank you so much.
Yes, it's okay. I agree on the matter of principle that we should do that. But if honourable members would remember, we're prioritizing Gauteng because we had planned to go to Gauteng, and that has not happened. And when we go to Gauteng, we are going to include a category B municipality, namely Mfuleni, which has got problems, especially waste water related problems. It's okay. But I take the point that I'm sure part of the program that we are going to design will also include such municipalities in the Northern Cape. And we also, I think, owe the Eastern Cape province where we need to visit it as well. It has been postponed for over time. Yes, let me check any other hand. I note Honorable Mthethwa. Honorable Mthethwa, the platform is yours.
No, thank you so much, Chair. Maybe to add on what Mbali has said is that Moss, would you add a statement that we need to go through almost in all of these municipalities, now that the report has highlighted all those municipalities that are defaulting, just to put a qualification that we will prioritize all those municipalities that are repeatedly doing the same thing as category one, and category two are those that are reversing, and category three are those that have got the disclaimers, so that we just group them as A, B, C, those municipalities, to say that the committee has emphasized to ensure that in the next term, we need to visit all those category A, which are repeatedly doing one and the same thing, they're not turning the corner, and category B to be those that municipality have also they're doing some reversal on the good work that they've been doing. And the last one to be those that got the disclaimers, totally disclaimers. So that will help us, Chair, to quality put a statement there. Otherwise, I want to also to move that this report is very detailed, Chair, I move for the secondment of this adoption of this report. I thank you, Chair.
All right, thank you. Before that, I see the hand of Honorable Bartlett and Honorable Smith. Honorable Bartlett?
No, Chair, it was a legacy hand, sorry.
Oh, it is a legacy hand. Honorable Smith?
Thank you, Chair. I think in terms of oversight as well, positive oversight would be also to go and visit the Midvaal municipality, as the Auditor General indicated that they have got a very good practice in terms of implementing the IDP and the public participation process to learn in terms of what is good practice to use in other municipalities as well.
Okay. Yes, I think there were three municipalities, if I remember well. The other one is the Winiman Madikizela Mandela in the Alfred Nzo district. I kind of remember the third one. There were three municipalities that were models in terms of what needs to happen. I think, yes, include that most as part of learning experiences from such municipalities. With that, Honorable, noting the proposals made by members, also noting, Honorable Sheikh, do you want to come in? I see your hand.
Yeah, no, thank you very much, Chairperson. I was actually at the point of wanting to also move for the adoption with the two additional inputs that were made in the report, but also maybe also raise an objection with regard to a comment made that the district development model is unconstitutional. I think that has not been tested. So I think, I wanted to just raise that concern. But thank you very much.
Yes. Yes. I was going to propose that the report must indicate the reservation of the DA in terms of the insertion of the district development model, because it is not the policy of the DA in that respect, and based on that, they do not support.
That's not what we said.
What did you say?
It's not the DA policy. We said the model is questionable in terms of its constitutionality and the fact that it hasn't been approved in any structure of government.
No, Honorable Smith. Honorable Badenhorst said, let me paraphrase what he said. He said the report is institutionalizing the district development model, which is against their own policy, because they don't support.
Another correction, Chair. I said that we cannot institutionalize something that hasn't passed constitutional muster. That's what I said. That hasn't been tested in the constitution, and therefore we cannot now institutionalize it by adding it to a report.
Yes, but we can't say it has not passed the constitutional muster as if somebody has challenged it in the constitutional court, or that there is a ruling of the constitutional court that says that declared the district development model illegal. At the moment, it is a policy of government, and we can't be seen as this committee not supporting or not implementing or overseeing, at least overseeing, the policy of government, a government that accounts and reports to the NCOP via this committee. But be that as it may, I think the view is that we note your reservations in terms of the articulations and the implementation of the district development model, but you can't say it is unconstitutional when nobody, including the courts, have not said that this policy is unconstitutional. And nobody, to my knowledge,
has gone to court. That's not what I said. I said
don't disrupt me when I'm speaking. Honorable, raise your hand. I'll afford you an opportunity to speak, but you can't disrupt me because you have a different point of view like me or from me. All that I'm saying is that you are objecting to this report, as I understand, on the basis of the fact that it inserts and includes the district development model. But you can't say the district development model is unconstitutional. You can't say that when there is no ruling whatsoever that has declared this policy of government unconstitutional. That's all that I'm saying. Honorable Badenhorst.
Hey, thank you for the opportunity. Just to correct you, I'm saying that we cannot now institutionalize this development model because in this report, so I am not against the report. Let's get this very clear. The report has got some really good recommendations, but we cannot now go and institutionalize something in a report that hasn't been tested in the Constitution. That is what I'm trying to get across. So with the reservation of 15.1.1511, I am happy to support the report without 15.11. And if you are going to accept the report, that's fine, but you know, I would like my reservations in terms of 15.11 being noted.
Okay, no, I really understand you. And I throughout understood you, but you can't say to this committee that a policy has got to be tested constitutionally. We are not running government, or government is not run on the basis of the orders of the Constitutional Court, unless somebody challenged those orders at the Constitutional Court and they are ventilated at that level. And that the policy of government is declared unconstitutional on those bases. But if it is a policy of government, for now, this policy is constitutional because nobody has challenged it. Nobody has challenged, and there's no order that declares it unconstitutional. There's no order whatsoever. This policy is a policy of government. And this committee has got a responsibility to oversee and to monitor government on the basis of its policy. But I understand that you have reservations about the district development model, and I'm not opposing you for that, and I'm not accusing you for that. All that I'm saying is that this committee will continue to oversee and to monitor government on the basis of its policy. And from where I stand and from where other members stand, the DM model is a good model. And you say it's not a good model. That's your view. But to me, it is a best model that must be implemented. And we note your reservations. And we also note the fact that you are not supporting the document, the don't support the district development model. That's all that I was saying.
Chairperson? Unmute.
Yeah, right, my hand.
Yeah, sorry, the network problem. They're not dealing with the network. The sooner we come to the adoption or otherwise of the report, the better. I'm sorry about that. Honorable Bartlett?
Yes, sir, I raised my hand just to say that we can't stay on this one point. You clarified everything, the DA, the issues, but now they are debating with you on this issue. So, Chair, we can just move on to our next point. We already asked for the adoption of this report.
Yes, thank you very much. honorable Sheikh.
Thank you, Chair. I think Honorable Bartlett covered me, so
supported, seconded. But maybe you want to say something before that, Honorable Sheikh?
No, no, Chair. I think Honorable Bartlett covered me. We should move forward.
All right, thanks. All right, thank you very much, Honorable Sheikh. Yes, can I say that we adopt the report with the reservations of the DA, or the DA is objecting to the report based on the district development model institutionalization? Can we say that is the understanding? Any abstention from the report?
None.
All right. I take that the report is duly adopted by the majority of members in this platform, representing all the provinces, and welcome Honorable Motsamai. We were informed because we have prior issues to attend to, but welcome to this meeting. With that, honorable members, this brings us to the end of our meeting. The meeting is adjourned. I see the hand of Honorable Bartlett and Honorable Smith.
No, sorry, Chair, I didn't lower my hand.
Oh, thank you very much. I don't want to suppress or deny anyone an opportunity to speak, but as matters stand now, the report is really adopted with those reservations.
Yes.
Any other matter, Honorable Smith?
Yes. Jefferson, I think you didn't translate our objection. It's not an objection, it's a reservation.
Yes,
we're not against the report. We are not against the report. We have reservations about 1511. So we support the report, but we are against 1511. So that should be recorded correctly. We are not objecting to the report.
Okay. In that spirit, Mars, without engaging in other polemics, with that understanding that the reservations from the DA in respect of the district development model, that insertion of the clause, can we say that? With that, honorable members, thank you very much for attending the meeting. Those who are attending the physical session of Parliament will meet at 2 o'clock. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Recording stopped.
Promos.